Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming. My name is Tim Sklenar. I'm a graduate student at Iowa State University, and I work with Dr. Andrew Lenson, and I will have a couple of answers to some of the questions, hopefully, that were being asked of Stefan in the last session here. So our project was basically managing cover crops, fall planted cover crops, with an eye towards using them for silage. And so why do we care about cover crops? I think probably most of the people here are well familiar with a lot of the benefits and issues surrounding them. They fill in gaps in our cropping systems, improve soil health, decrease nitrate losses, and as you can see here on the left and right-hand side of this picture, help us potentially prevent erosion. If you can, it might be a little bit hard to make out in the back, but the right-hand side there is a cover crop plot, and the left-hand side is not. So here are our research questions. Basically, we wanted to look at some crucifer species to see how they would perform in central Iowa. There's not a whole ton of work that's been done on crucifers in that part of the country. Camelina was a really big part of our research idea, and so was the old USDA RMA cutoff date for haying and grazing. Used to be if you hayed or grazed your cover crop after May 10th, you couldn't insure the subsequent crop. So they actually already changed that rule, but at the time we kind of bracketed our termination dates before and after to see if there really was much of an effect. Here is our site. It was near Ames, Iowa. The soils are pretty typical for central Iowa. Texture ranged from loam to clay loam, with drainage classes from moderately well-drained to very poorly drained. Since we are interested in the gap between corn silage and soybeans, specifically, we had two different sites for the 2 years, but they were adjacent to one another on land managed by the ISU dairy farm. And just to be clear here, we're only working with the cover crop and soybean portion of the system. It's not a full rotation study. So here we have a picture of our field site. This is one whole plot, and it's laid out in a split plot in a randomized complete block design with four replications. The whole plot factor that we had was cover crop treatment. This included four cover crops and a control. The cover crops, as in this case, were winter cereal rye, a winter canola, a winter camelina, and a turnip. And then our first level split plot was termination date, so either an early May termination date or a late May termination date. And the second level split plot was above ground biomass removal. So biomass was either removed to simulate a forage harvest or mowed and left in place on the plot. Cover crops were planted after corn silage harvest in September using a no-till tie drill with a 19-centimeter spacing, and seeding rate was 6 kilograms per hectare for the crucifers and 67 kilograms per hectare for the rye. Unfortunately, our camelina in the first year had a poor stand establishment, and you'll see that kind of come through in some of my later slides. For people not familiar with camelina, it is an oilseed in the cruciferae family. It's early vegetative growth is in kind of a small rosette, like you see at the right here, and it branches and sort of puts on pods when it goes reproductive. And also, that is my finger, so the seed is really tiny. Here's climate information for the 2 years of the study. Basically, it can be summed up with two words, cold and wet. You can see the purple line is the 20-year average, and then we have our two site years. And so both years were colder than the 20-year average, and the winter of 2013-2014 was particularly harsh, like from December to February. And both years also had above-average rainfall, although the rainfall pattern differed somewhat between the 2 years. the spring of 2013, April and May was the wettest on record ever for Iowa, so it was fun trying to deal with cover crops a little bit that spring. Here we have our pictures of fall growth in 2012. That was just shy of 2 months after planting. And on to a few numbers. Here I have the biomass for each of the two seasons. The rye had the highest above ground biomass accumulation at all dates and had over 8 times more total biomass at the end of May in 2013 compared to canola, and over 4 times more biomass accrual than camelina in 2014. Carbon accumulation followed basically exactly the same trend, and on the left in 2012 and 2013 you can see the effect of the poor camelina stand there. Also note that the turnips died both years, they winter killed, and in the 2013-2014 season canola also winter killed. Nitrogen accumulation followed kind of the same looking trend, but it was slightly different. The rye accumulated over 5 times more than the canola in 2013 and 2 times more than camelina in 2014. If you look at the left side, you can see that canola actually accumulated more nitrogen in the above ground biomass in the fall. We got the seed in a little bit earlier then and had a lot of leafy growth that died back over the winter and then just sort of disintegrated. Here are some pictures of our spring growth. This is what 8,600 kilograms per hectare of rye looks like in practice, and also what a camelina stand looks like if you're smart enough to do a germ test before you go and plant it. And here are our post-cover soil nitrate concentrations, 0 to 15 centimeters. Rye had the lowest spring soil nitrate. It was significantly lower in both years. And then also, if you look here, the camelina in 2014, when it was well established, it had a significantly lower nitrate compared to the 3 treatments that had no growing living cover crop in the spring. So we terminated the cover crops in the spring by spraying them with glyphosate, either after they were biomass removed or mowed, and then no-till planted soybeans the same day or the next day, except for late May 2013, where we had all that rain, and so that was delayed by a couple of weeks, actually. We used a 2.4 maturity group soybean planted at 346,000 live seed per hectare. And here are some yield results. 2013, we had a significant effect of population on the yield, so we included it as a covariate in the analysis. Once we had done that, there was no statistically significant differences in 2013. We also had trouble terminating the canola and the rye in the first termination date. And you can kind of see that here on the left-hand side for 2013, canola and rye, you have a lower yield for the earlier planting date, which is kind of counter to what we would expect. Both cover crop termination date and cover crop treatment were significant in 2014. Rye produced 540 kilograms per hectare less than all the other treatments and 480 kilograms per hectare less than the camelina. And the late May termination date yielded 260 kilograms per hectare less than the early May termination date. And then we have a similar, and that's the trend I was pointing out a second ago. And here we have a similar graph except for the biomass removal treatments, whether it was removed or not. It didn't have a significant effect on our end of season soybean grain yield in either year, which is good, because we want to go ahead and use all this above ground biomass as forage. So the last thing that we're going to do here today is look at money. I performed a partial budget analysis and assumed that drilling and harvest was done custom, harvest of the cover crop in the spring. The hay was used as to calculate a replacement cost for feed, for the cover crops based on the relative feed values. Alfalfa was used to price the crucifers, and grass hay was used to price the rye. Those are the average Iowa values for the May of the respective years for alfalfa and grass hay, and then the value of the soybeans. At the bottom there is the yearly average, and I use that to calculate a yield loss in the plots where I had depressed soybean yields. So I took the early May planting of my control plots, set a baseline at that, and then calculated a yield loss based on the treatments to sort of estimate the value of that. So here we have the relative feed values of the forages that I looked at for the economics. And I assumed an average feed, or the average priced hay would have a feed value of 100, and then gave it a bonus or penalty based on a paper that I read from a gentleman up in Wisconsin of 90 cents per point of relative feed value up to 150. So the potential bonus for really, really good 150 RFV feed would be $45 extra dollars. Here are the total costs associated with the selected covers. That includes seed, establishment, silage harvest, and yield losses. The much higher costs associated with rye in these cases were yield losses for us. And however, finally, the drum roll, please. The net value when we're calculating in the value of the feed. Rye was net positive in both years, in both termination dates, and camelina was positive in 2014. Canola was negative even when it overwintered in 2013, probably because the seed cost was significantly higher, and we had low harvestable yield due to the winter kill sort of dieback over the winter period. So conclusions, some takeaways here. Rye had the most growth, carbon, nitrogen accumulation, net value, even in spite of decreasing soybean yields. Camelina scavenged 46 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, lowered spring soil nitrate levels, and increased overall income. Camelina survived extremely harsh winter conditions for our area anyway. And 2013 and 2014, our simulated forage harvests did not have a significant impact on the soybean grain yield at the end of the season. And feeding cover crops may increase income even when yields are reduced. And here are my references. I'll take questions if anybody has any.
Thank you. Okay, we have time for a few questions.
My question is about planting the soybeans.
Yes. Yeah, so basically we had some labor issues, and they got sprayed with about half the rate of glyphosate that they were supposed to in the first kill date in 2013. And so we had to come back later once we realized that they weren't dead and respray them. That depressed the population. We had some slower germination and also a lower overall population in the rye and canola plots in 2013. So there was without population as a covariate, there was a treatment date by biomass removal by cover interaction. I wanted to kind of pull some of that out since it was user error more than anything, but so the 2014 results are a lot cleaner, I think, but that's why kind of we decided to do include it. Does that answer your question?
But not quite. You were having, like, because you have a lot, especially the rye biomass, you have a lot of rye biomass.
Yeah.
That be a barrier to establishment of soybeans?
We mowed where we left the biomass on the plot. We mowed it with a flail mower. We used, for the early planting date in 2013, it was a four-row John Deere 30-inch center planter. And then for all the other dates, it's an Almaco planter, I think. Or
Kinsey units.
Or Kinsey, yeah, it's got Kinsey units on it. And I'm not a good equipment guy, so Andy can maybe answer that better than me.
Okay, thank you, Tim.
Great.